Hey y'all, how's it going? I'm Soledad. It's really wonderful to be here. I'm really grateful for the space. I want to thank Joan and Chris and Hemingway's, and really, this is a good vibe, right? This is the antidote to the bullshit, and I hope we can keep that going. I'm going to try to read poems that are not depressing, and so that is one thing I'm going to try to do. I don't actually write very many of those, so I've kind of had to cherry pick them, but here we are. The first one, this is my first book, I Was a Bell, you can get it at Bookshop. They've got it at White Whale, they've got it at City of Asylum, and my second book comes out September 2nd, called Flight Plan. So if you don't know me very well, you will after these poems, in that I am a bird of prey groupie. I love a bird of prey. I think a bird of prey is probably my favorite creature in the world because they don't care about me at all. This is my first of two poems about birds of prey. This one's called Someday I Will Visit Hawk Mountain. I will be a real birder and know raptors by the shape of their wings, the span of them against wide skies, the browns and grays of their feathers, the reds and whites like specks of paint. I will look directly into the sun, point and say, those are black vultures. Those are red-shouldered hawks. They fly with the thermals, updrafts, barely moving, gliding their bodies along the currents, borrowing speed from the wind. I will know other raptors, sharp-shinned hawk, the Cooper's hawk, the ones that flap their wings and move their bodies during the day, the merlins, the peregrine falcons, soaring like bullets through blue steel, cutting the winds looking for rabbits, groundhogs that will not live past talons and claws. I will know the size of their bones, the weight of their beaks. I will remember the curves, the colors of their oval yellow eyes. I will have the measurements, the data that live inside their bodies like a secret taunting me to find its guts. Or this is what I tell myself. But I am a bad birder. I care little about the exact rate of a northern goshawk's flight speed. I do not need to know how many pounds of food an American kestrel eats in winter. I have no interest in the feather types on a turkey vulture. I have looked up and forgotten these facts again and again and again. They float out of my mind immediately. What I remember, my breathless body as I look into the wildness above, flying, raptors flying, diving, stooping, bodies of light, talismans, incantation, dust of the gods, creatures of myth, they hang in the sky like questions. They promise nothing, indifferent to everything but death. Still, I catch myself gasping, neck craned up, follow the circles they build out of sky, reach for their brutal mystery, the alien spark of more. So the second poems are, the second bunch of poems are from my, they're not a bunch, by the way, don't worry, are from my second book called Flight Plan. And this is a poem that I didn't realize at the time, but now when I was rereading it, ends up being a lot about COVID and about T1. I'm trying not to say the full name. And so 45, the orange dude. But in the midst of it, I found some poems that were about love. So this is a love poem, I think. Obeyed for Ricardo. You look calm, like the ocean before the wind catches it. shakes it awake, wide with sound and aching. I have not slept for hours, red-eyed in the darkness of the night, my brain unable to grab sleep, my thoughts like bullets bursting out, erratic staccato speculations. I watch you as the light breaks open through the blinds, noting the movement of your mouth, your eyes, your rib cage, studying the heat of your skin, the heat of your mouth as you dream and sleep into the next dream, the next breath. I lie with you, my heart choking me, my will shaken as I watch you sleep, scared to wake you, scared not to wake you, caught knowing that one day I will lose you, one day you will not wake. And in that moment of terror, when the light is just casting its light on your face, I wish for one thing only, that we face death together, that both of us take the ride into Hades, hand in hand, in that boat that no one ever gets to leave, and we sing. It's kind of a love poem. I mean, you're going into hell, but you are, in fact, with your lover, so I feel like that's important. Two more. I was diagnosed with cancer in 2015 and had treatment in 2016, and this is my ninth year since. So I ended up writing a lot about that. Who knew? So this is called Odd Fellows 215, which is also my office in my academic building. It's also a love poem to my students, actually. Here is where the tumor grew. A small hill with wild ants, browns and blacks the size of grains of sand, or maybe the size of gray water-worn pebbles. It grew here in this yellow and brown second floor room, where students come trudging up the stairs in bleak light of winter, sit and cry in my purple chair about mothers, exams, insurance bills. In this room where I hand out Kleenex, it grew, like kudzu along the walls, lace of green, thick veins and tendrils, like the curl of a question mark. When did it start to bloom, this tissue, this mound of fat and cells with teeth? When did it burst through the walls, thick like rope, a tight, hard rock vibrating heat? I grew here too, young scholar, bright from the nightmares of grad school, arrived already blue after battles with theory. In this room, I started reading again, for the first time, it seemed, gathered up books, blood, wanted to remember the joy of the thing. How much I longed to find more than flaws in metaphors after grad school. In this room, I tried for magic. I tried for more than being lost. I tried for something like love. Now, two decades in, what am I exactly? Not as new, not as tender, not as. But words seem small for this metamorphosis, as I learned again to feel what time can do for the scars of learning. This tumor grew, a silent bomb, a shadow coal creature without light. These cells found life inside me, made a whole universe with mitosis, clung to the soft parts of my body, and flung themselves into living like wildfire in a parched forest. After all the months of poison, of mouth sores and night terrors and sweat, I am back in this room again. There is an aching, silent hole inside my right breast. The room is still the color of canaries after rain. The books, the words, never seem to have left, as if they burrowed a place inside the shelves, a home of black ink and paper. Again, I sit here in this room of my life, after the war with raging cells, waiting to find the new world again, waiting to see what this body and love and time can do. Am I done? Okay, so my last poem is about books because I love them. And I'm not a good gardener or farmer or anything to do with the outside or bugs, but somehow gardening came into this poem anyway. It's called In Pennsylvania. Sometimes there is more love in a book than in the whole day. After the darkness bursts open, the pages offer words lighted, bright despite the rain outside. Ember moment of reading when the hazy swirling possibilities are still just beyond reach, and there's a pounding ache to find the center of the story, the middle soft parts, ripe and tender, the heart of fruit just picked off a tree, the smell of wet dirt lingering on the skin, my mouth anticipating the wetness of my tongue. I've walked the fields all day, sweating, cutting weeds, digging out slugs, watering my paper crops with vowels, with sounds, with song. I am no farmer, no grower of food. I have always hated mud and dirt, the smell of animal shit. I cultivate books as if all the fields of my life were still waiting for new seeds. What strange things can I find in a book? That seems a small question. Maybe the question should be, how can I live long enough to eat all the fruit I've yet to plant? Thank you.